Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Blog Talk Radio.
I do the show.
Welcome, listeners. You are listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction, NABWIC. With every membership, NABWIC will be able to empower itself and provide each member services that will build lasting strategic partnerships with organizations and individuals committed to providing inventive and transformative solutions for black women and their respective communities. NABWIC, we are the voice of black women in construction, and we welcome you all, and we thank you all to listening to our show. For each episode that goes on, we're continually growing. We're developing a network of African-American women in the field of construction. As a double minority, NABWIC aims to provide a network where we all can get together, expand our knowledge, expand our community, and expand ourselves into this heavily driven, male-dominated industry. Now, today we have on our show a new member of NABWIC. We thank her for becoming part of us, and her inclusion into NABWIC has been a great addition to us. She started her own business. She ran a family business when she initially got into the construction industry. She had a near-death experience that sort of put her out of the industry for a little bit. And when she came back, she started up again. Her profession or her skills leads into masonry. And we're going to talk more about her. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you guys Ms. Rosa Carter. Ms. Rosa Carter, are you on the line?
I sure am.
Welcome. Tell us about Rosa Jones Carter.
Well, being a native of Jacksonville, Florida, I'm the youngest sibling, and I got an opportunity to observe how my grandmother administered my grandfather's general contracting business at a very young age. So I immediately took typing and business law and bookkeeping at the local elementary school during a continuing education class that they was offering from the college during the summer of my 6th to 8th grade. And so at the time, I knew that I wanted to go to college early, and I was excited to spend time with older women with their knowledge and wisdom. And I automatically like to encourage and motivate young women to become entrepreneurs. I was taught at an early age, freely give, freely give, and freely give.
Nice. But what then decided... When did you decide to go into the construction industry? I know it's been part of your life and your family since you were born, but there had to have been a time when you decided that this is what I want to do, and not just you want to do it, but you wanted to do it with your family as well.
But what actually happened is I was sitting in a restaurant during my lunch hour, and I was looking at the menu, and it read, celebrating 75 years in business. Mm. And at that time, I asked the waitress about the business, and lo and behold, she was the granddaughter. Started telling me how her grandparents had started the business. And it was like a light bulb experience. From that point, I knew that was what I wanted. So I went home, and I told my father that I want to be a part of the business. And he was...
And around
so,
what age were you at that... Yeah, of course he was excited.
I was...
Around what age were you at that point?
I was 23.
Okay. And did any of your other siblings follow that step?
Well, my brother, I only have one brother, and he started with the business at the age of 11. You know, he wanted to follow everywhere. Mm-hmm. His father was his hero and his best friend. So
right.
He started actually during summertime when school was out. He would go on the job site. And you couldn't see nothing but his teeth and the hard hat but at 11 years old. But, so he started, you know, and now, it was other family members that thought I was nuts, you know, to get into the construction business, because it was predominantly a male industry. But I never looked back. I realized the importance of generational heritage, and that seemed to lack when it came to the African-American community, that we don't have that legacy that it continues on. Mm-hmm. So I immediately signed up at the Westside Skill Center, and I enrolled mm-hmm. in the masonry class so that I could physically learn how to lay bricks and blocks.
Okay. And at that time, what was the name of your family's company?
It was J&K Masonry.
Okay. Okay. And you guys, and what type of work did you do? Was it residential, commercial?
We did both. We did residential and commercial and industrial.
And it's, and you know, this is a male-driven industry, and as you were saying, there were people who thought you or didn't understand or comprehend why you wanted to get into that industry. Your father, on the other hand, was excited about that, and I'm pretty sure he molded you as much as he can. But it's easy when you're accepted in the industry. How were you accepted prominently in a male-driven industry?
Well, I should say with caution. Men were skeptical. Mm-hmm. There was not an abundance of women in construction in 1990 in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, they tested me, they interrogated me. some of them would not give me the respect of being a woman in construction. They would actually call the office and ask to speak to my husband, or they would kind of indicate that I was a front company. And, you know, of course, you know, these obstacles made me stronger. I would politely state to him, well, if I was married, you could certainly speak to my husband, but I'm not married. So it was difficult.
Tell
but I didn't.
Some,
I, I'm sorry.
Your I was going to say, tell us some. It's pretty hard. And we have a lot of young listeners on our show as well, college students who are going into the industry, high school students who we have Industry Day where we mentor them into the engineering field. What would you say for those who are coming out of the industry and, coming out of school and going into the industry? As a mentor, what type of advice would you give these women? You did say one, you know, proceed with caution, but what exactly does that entail and what does that mean?
Well, if they are going
and how do you feel about mentorship?
I definitely support mentoring. If anyone, I would tell the listening audience out there, if they were thinking about going into the construction industry, you definitely go to resources that could help them. First thing I did was I immediately went to the University of North Florida Small Business Development Center. They were offering a seminar on how to start a business. And I have been going to that workshop ever since. I got involved with the Chamber of Commerce. And at the time that I joined, they actually had an Adopt a Business mentoring program. And I was actually teamed up with a larger company, the Haskell Company, which pretty much everybody knows the Haskell Company. And then I went to SCORE. So there are resources out there. SCORE immediately helped me with my business plan. So I had the opportunity and the fortune that my grandfather and my father was already in the business that I could take the time to learn more of the administration portion of the company because they already knew the field, you know, handling the project. So it gave me that opportunity to take that time and learn as much as I could about the business and how to network and brand the business.
Okay. So back to the question about for the students or those who are just now getting into the industry or even those who are in the industry as well, I would like to know how to go through certain obstacles when it deals with the male-driven industry. And they might actually be the only female in that place. They might be the only black female in that place, even more so. And they're probably experiencing the things you just came up with, the doubts on their competency, whether or not they can move forward in an aggressively male-driven, industry. And also the different stereotypes that men think women are a bit fragile, women won't be able to sustain the aggressiveness of the environment. What can you tell us? What more can you tell us about that? And how do we sort of break barriers? number one, it's great, start up your own business. But in the meantime, while some of us have not started up our own business, we are inside of the that work environment. What advice would you give?
Well, one of the things that I did, like I said, of course, you know, building relationships, but like I said, to overcome some of the obstacles, I had went to Tampa and I enrolled in a class to be a certified structural masonry contractor. And just as you mentioned, I was the only African American. I was the only female of about 200 white men. And, you know, so you just, as long as you prepare yourself, like I said, I end up learning, you know, how to read the blueprint. So when they test me and they ask me questions, I was prepared. So education, it will help you be prepared. So that's why I say all those resources and mentoring and grouping with other women in business and getting your groundwork done first, you know, to make sure that you are prepared, because the obstacles are going to come. They are going to test you to see that you know where you know your business.
Right.
And I actually can share a story, a quick story. It was in the 80s and early 90s. I had just been awarded the Pensacola Navy base with the Haskell Company, and my father suggested that I go to the union masons for them to help me with the contract, and because his health was failing at this point. And Mr. Sessions at the local union referred his top mason, and he did not believe my estimation. He thought that I was not on point when it came to my estimate. But I was quite confident, so he offered my dad a $100 cash wager that I was off on my estimation.
Wow.
And my dad said, my trust is in my daughter. Now I'm nervous. I was fine until my dad said, because you must understand, I was a daddy's girl. So I rushed home, and I triple-checked my estimate because I could not disappoint my dad.
Yes.
And after the project started and the materials arrived, Mr. White, the top mason, he called, kind of frantic, and said, I think you ordered too much material, young lady, and they will charge you to restock. Well, I was a little cocky at this point. I said, let it ride. I said, remember, we have a bet on the line. He was doubtful, and he said, okay, young lady. But after those 3 weeks, the project was completed. He came back to Jacksonville, and he didn't go to my office. He came to my house.
Okay.
And he said, Henry, we had 7 blocks and 3 bags of mortar left after completion. She's a keeper.
Great.
You better keep her, and here's your $100. That made my day.
That was one test. test out of many that you passed, right?
Yes.
And passed it very well. 7 blocks. That's impressive, actually. Where are you currently in your business?
Well, I'm introducing the family business to the world. Cause like I said, I had a major illness, a near-death experience. So for over a decade, I've been out of business. But my health is better now. And we're here to grow the business more so from the bottom up. And I have a great support system and colleagues and everybody that's optimistic that we'll see the business grow. Right now I'm in the process of increasing the marketing and branding of the company and submitting my certification. They expired, so I've got to recertify. And we're building a team right now and bidding projects at the current time.
Okay. Okay, and are you going to continue the masonry aspect of it as your family business was, or are you going to branch into something, expand or branch into something else?
Oh, I'm expanding. Great question. I'm expanding. We cover painting. We cover tiles. You know, right now we are a subcontractor. Whatever the needs are, we should be able to, be able to fill some of that niche. You know, because construction is a major part of the economy. Anything that you look at is part of the building industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's under your feet or over your head. So construction puts people to work. Whether you're teaching young people the construction trade or you're assisting women and men that have been incarcerated and have been away from their families and now returning back to their families and communities, we've got to get that education and training out there. And I believe in offering an opportunity for people to work. And my father was very instrumental in the work release program. to, you know, for someone to feel like they could provide for their families when they come back to the community and society.
No, that's great. That's great. That is great. So is this a nonprofit sector of, or should I say, your humanitarian efforts and construction?
Okay. Because people got
now,
to be able to feel that they can provide for their families, so they need employment.
Right, right, right. Something to keep them active and pursuing something to pursue.
Exactly.
Rather than being stagnant and falling into, I don't know, something that was habitual that wasn't necessarily beneficial initially. But definitely something different, something to give them a vision for and things of that nature. Now we're very happy to add you as a NABWIC member. I wish you the best and the success on starting up your company. Your story is amazing. Your story is among many women that we speak with and interview. And with hopefully this message goes out to our listeners, and our listeners are listening in. And with our network, I believe you'll definitely find enough individuals to assist you or to partner with you and work with you and promoting your business and getting your business started. You're definitely in the right place. And with that question, with that, I want to see, where do you see yourself in NABWIC?
Wow. When I met the founder, Ann McNeil, oh, man, that was an enlightening experience to me. Being involved with the vision of NABWIC would be with me for the rest of my life. When I was introduced to the NABWIC and the mastermind concept, I just knew that this was the vehicle for me. I'm 100% in agreement with the involvement of youth and women in construction. You know, there were only a couple of black women in construction in Jacksonville when I started in 1990. So to be involved with these strong-minded women coming together on one accord to support, enhance, they encourage, they empower. That was a blueprint that I needed in my life. So I thank the NABWIC team. I am so excited to be part of the Jacksonville chapter.
Great, great. And we're excited to have you. What are your final words to our Blog Talk audience?
I would like to say that I am grateful for this platform, the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and I encourage the listening audience to tune in to NABWIC's website and Blog Talk radio show on a regular basis. The mind and NABWIC concept is teaching people how to think and grow rich in our lives, our organization, and our businesses. When you have access to NABWIC members and great mentors that can come together to reach a common goal, that's empowering for anybody going into business or continuing growing their business. Our communities seem to lack true leadership. And when you can experience a mind shift change like these ladies teach in NABWIC, oh, man, that's true mind transformation. Our life should be a life of giving. The day we stop giving is the day we stop living. You know, I would say give a woman a fish and she can eat for today. If you teach a woman to fish, she can eat for a lifetime. But I would like to add, if you teach a woman to own the fish pond, she can provide for herself, her family, and everybody else.
Right, right, right. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity now while we have our listeners. Put yourself out there and let us know, and even those who are listening may be of benefit to you, but we probably would want to know how exactly can we help you. So let us know, and our listeners, what services are you looking for now and in the future that will help you with your current goals?
With the NABWIC team?
NABWIC team, our listeners, just in general.
Well, like I said, getting together with
go ahead.
I'm learning a little bit more about the legislation and the power of how politics works with your business. And I'm learning that with NABWIC, because like I say, they have so many committees that I'm learning about and how to effectively brand my company in partnership with people, joint ventures. is something that I could see with my company. And like, again, I'm very strong in where I want young people, you know, to, so you, most of your tradesmen are 50 or older in the construction field. So we really got to motivate and encourage our young people. So if there's young people are listening right now, I encourage them to pursue entrepreneurship, and we definitely need more women in the construction field. And like I said, I just, being new in it, I'm still open-minded to all the resources that the NABWIC membership offers and the value of that. But like I said, as far as just the thought process, how everybody thinks differently and coming together and strategically meeting our goals, I mean, that is just priceless.
Great, great, great. Now, I'm going to open up the lines right now. We have a couple of callers. For the callers, if you're listening to the line, if you have a question, please let us know. All right, great. I have a question from 786-546-0184, Ann McNeil. Are you on the line? If you're on mute, unmute your phone.
Of course, I was on mute. Thank you so very much, and good afternoon.
How are you?
Yes, great. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives, and I am so excited to hear Rosa Carter's interview and learn a lot more about her. And Linda, you always do an excellent job. Just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to NABWIC Talks. And today we are talking with Rosa Carter, who is one of the founding members of our Jacksonville chapter in our National Association of Black Women in Construction Organization. My question is, Ms. Carter, if you could share one major benefit to our listening audience, especially African-American women who are in the construction industry or people who know someone that would like to share this show with them, what would be the one major benefit derived from your short tenure with this organization? Thank you. I'm going to go back on you.
Okay.
Thank you for that question, Ann. When I first joined, I immediately went to Washington, and just to be, I was at the AMAC Industry Day, and to hear about the different legislation and what's going on with what's going on in the business for our small business and minority business, that was one of the aspects that was overwhelming to me and an experience and education for me. But again, like I say, the mindset change, these getting together with women, smart women, strong women, confident women, I mean, it was like iron sharpening iron. It was taking me to another level by surrounding myself with women in construction. Because a lot of times you think you're out there alone when you're in construction, being a predominantly male industry. But just the networking, the support that I have from the women, and then this Blog Talk Radio show. This is a platform that we can utilize to share information, to get people excited about becoming a woman in construction, the opportunities of networking so that you can in joint venture and empower each other. I mean, and I'm still learning. I'm still excited. Sometimes I seem like I'm shouting around here in the room when I'm by myself. I mean, I'm just looking forward to everything that they're offering with the NABWIC team. And like I said, and the founder, and of course knowing the national president, Deborah Thompson, I've been knowing her for about 25 years. So like I said, being around this type of women, we're going to impact the whole world. I hope I answered
great.
Your question, Mr. Ann McNeil.
I believe we may have a question, caller 904-290-9924.
Yes, this is Jamie Dean. I don't know if it's a way we can edit out my number, though. But definitely. I wanted to know, everything you're saying is just like, it's very empowering and it's very motivating. And I just want to know, what made you come back after, you know, being on a medical leave for, you know, like you said, a decade? It seems like you could have just came back and said, forget it, I'm going to, like, medically retire. But, you know, you came back in the game, and going forward, what made you move forward with it?
Good question, caller. When you have, well, one thing, when you have a near-death experience and you're bedridden, you got nothing but time to think. And after the doctor was giving up on me and attempting to enroll me in hospice, and I denounced the belief that I was dying, I kept remembering being at that restaurant, seeing 75 years in distance. And I just knew then that I need to get back, get dust, almost like riding a bicycle when you fall. You dust yourself off and you get back up. I'm like a Timex. I take a licking and I keep on ticking. And I love the art of doing business. I love networking with people. I like seeing buildings being built. When you can see something that you built with your hands and it's still standing and didn't fall on top of somebody's head, that's you know, that empowers me and that excites me to be a part of a community by providing employment and training is something that's fulfilling to me. And to be a vessel for changing people's lives by employing people, you know, it's not the complete recipe for life, but however, it is a main ingredient. And I just couldn't give up on that opportunity. So I've got a second chance at life. So I look at the opportunity of JC Home Services being bigger and better than it was before. I hope I answered your question, Carla.
Yeah, that was. Thank you, Rosa, for this conversation. It's inspiring as well, hearing that you're coming back. And from what you faced when you were in the industry, as a woman in the industry, you knew that there were going to be a lot of challenges. But your faith and your will and your drive outweighed that fear or that concern. And you decided to come back, and you decided to come back in this industry again and move forward and persevere. These are the type of stories that we want to hear for those who are who love the industry, who want to be in it, but there are always obstacles that sort of pushes us in the other direction. And you weren't just dealing with the challenges of being a double minority like the rest of us faced, but you were faced with more than that. So from that, we thank you. We're grateful. We're happy to have you with the NABWIC team. We definitely have a lot of resources and avenues for you to explore from our education sector, from our legislation sector, our youth sector, and many more. I encourage all of you listeners to visit our website at NABWIC.org, NABWIC, National Association of Black Women in Construction. There's plenty of information about us, about our member, our past experience, our upcoming experiences. You can also find information about our industry day as well. This is our program that we support the youth and in the construction and engineering department. Every year we have individuals in the industry come out and speak to and mentor young students. And we keep this going every single year to remind these young students that we need you in this industry. Continue to pursue this industry. No matter the challenges, we've all faced it, persevere, and on the other side is those who've experienced in the industry to support you as well. So thank you, Rosa, and thank you to all my listeners. This is the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And we will definitely hear more from us, and we'll hear more from you as well. Please send us an email, blogtalk@nabwic.org, for any questions about this episode or any other future episodes. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he said she left that night.